Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Philadelphia Sports Nation. I'm your host, Julian Brown of the King. Today is August 23rd. Just checked on my phone here. August 23rd. I'm glad to be here along with you guys again on another episode of Philadelphia Sports Nation. Don't forget, you can find us on the web at www.phlsportsnation.com. You can also find us on Twitter at @PHLSportsNation. Not only can you find us on Twitter, but you can find us on Facebook, other platforms like Audio Boom. Not only do we broadcast here on Blog Talk Radio, but we also stream our episodes on Audio Boom. So you can go check our episodes on not only Blog Talk Radio, but also Audio Boom. So I'm happy to bring you guys along for another episode of PHL Sports Nation today. Today, oh boy, we have some things to discuss relating to Sam Bradford. Sam Bradford apparently played his first preseason game ever in an Eagles uniform. We'll talk about him. We'll also talk about the Chase Utley trade. I was quite surprised a little that Chase Utley was actually traded to the Los Angeles Dodgers. Thought another destination like Angels or Chicago Cubs would have been better suited for Utley, but more ideal for Utley. But as it turned out, he really demanded to go to Los Angeles. I think really, and he didn't really say much during his news conference, didn't leak much of what was kept privy behind closed doors with Ruben Amaro Jr. But I think Chase didn't really want to leave Philadelphia, go anywhere unless he was part of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Unless he was traded to the Los Angeles Dodgers, Chase Utley would not want to go anywhere but Los Angeles, as he grew up in Los Angeles, grew up 10 minutes from the stadium, went to the World Series back in the 90s, and cherished some moments as a Los Angeles Dodgers fan, as he still is. He still is. The MLB.com, in his first interview as part of the Los Angeles Dodgers, that he always grew up a Los Angeles Dodgers fan, still to this day is a Los Angeles Dodgers fan. Don't get confused, though. Philadelphia, Chase will always have a place heart here in Philadelphia, as we can't forget. We can't forget the times of Chase Utley in Philadelphia. Chase is apparently remembered for cursing on stage during the 2008 World Series parade. Now, I don't really follow up on much of what Mike Missinelli says of 97.5 The Fanatic, because I don't really think Mike shares much useful insight. But how can I put it? He knows better when it comes to baseball, and you know, he shared a very good point, on air the other day that Chase Utley is shamefully enough, and I say shamefully enough, remembered for the 2008 World Series Parade, cursing during the 2008 World Series Parade, because, oh, we can look back at all the other moments in Chase Utley's career, but many fans just seem to reminisce of the time, just the very time Chase Utley cursed on stage during the 2008 World Series Parade. I say shamefully enough, as we can remember the other times Chase Utley went to the All-Star game multiple times, was arguably the best second baseman in Major League Baseball for quite a while. I think it's no kept secret that Chase Utley was, in fact, the best second baseman in baseball for quite some time. A huge feat in Chase Utley's career, as he was known for his bat. He also improved as he was making his way up through the Phillies farm system, improved within his fielding skills, got a lot better at second base, and at one point won a gold glove. Chase is really made a name for himself right from the get-go in Philadelphia. He surely is one of the best, if not the best, second baseman in Philly's history. You know, some like to put him up there with Darren Dalton, and Mike Schmidt's a little too far up, because you could also argue between Mike Schmidt and Jimmy Rollins as one of the best bats. Jimmy Rollins didn't know what other player could do, which was surpass Mike Schmidt's hitting record, but in Philly's history. But despite that, Chase is definitely one of the all-time greats in Philly's history. Ruben Amaro Jr. even said during Chase Utley's news conference that Chase was arguably the best Philly during the era of Ryan Howard, Jimmy Rollins, Carlos Ruiz, Shane McDorino, and others. I think it's tough to pinpoint, really, because that whole core was great years back, but I definitely say, and it's tough, but I definitely say Chase was the greatest Philly. Now, as you look back at recent years now, Chase has really gained himself through a horrible degenerative condition, knee condition. Chase has really battled over the years, and yet has still been able to play at the highest level possible. So, time oh, history shows that Utley has not only made a name for himself in Philly from the get-go, but also played his heart out and sustained on through his career with a degenerative condition. Just some amazing feats we can look back on as Chase Utley is now part of the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Los Angeles Dodgers now have Jose Peraza. He's in AAA. He might get called up any time now, so could Corey Seager. But they also have Howie Kendrick, another second baseman. They have quite a lot of offensive players to work with right now. Howie Kendrick is on the disabled list, is currently on the disabled list, but reports are indicating that he'll likely come back. He'll likely come back in September, so chances are Chase Utley will see some playing time. Maybe the Dodgers want to limit Chase Utley's limit his playing time all the way up until the postseason. But Chase Utley, for sure, and he said in his recent MLB.com interview that he plays for the postseason. And why in the hell has he been sustaining on through these years? All because of the postseason that Chase wanted to be nowhere but Los Angeles, as there's a good chance Chase Utley can play really good in the postseason. Had a nice stretch for a little while with the Philadelphia Phillies after the All-Star break. Hit pretty well. The Dodgers just hoping now he can just play on that way through that certain stretch through the postseason on, but there is uncertainty. There's uncertainty, like I said, if Chase will play as much with Howie Kendrick, Jimmy Rollins. At no point whatsoever has Chase ever moved to third base, shortstop, but has certainly played at first base at times. He's played at first base at times. Could get a look at first base if I'm just assuming Chase Utley will be there. He'll be there if necessary. If Kendrick were to go down, if Adrian Gonzalez were to go down, he'd be there, or he'd be in the lineup trying to win, essentially. I don't know about the Dodgers' chances at winning the World Series this year with Kershaw, Greinke, and then look down at the rotation. You see Ryu is out for the season. They just demoted Matt Latos to the bullpen. Odds are that Kershaw's going to once again pitch a lot in the postseason. So is Greinke, along with that bunch of Alex Wood, Brett Anderson. And Alex Wood, he's done all right, but Brett has to stay healthy as well. They need to really keep this bunch intact if they're going to really make a strong push again at the postseason. I just don't know about the Dodgers' chances. And I think you know, I've told many people this. I strongly think we'll see the Mets and the Blue Jays in the World Series this year. I think the Mets have really put on a wonderful season despite their shaky offense. Some of them tell me, "Oh, the Mets aren't gonna make the World Series with their offense." Well, it turned out they made some improvements at the deadline. And people may say that the East Division is the worst out of all divisions this year, but there's an argument to make that Mets starting rotation has carried the Mets throughout the entire season, throughout the way this Mets rotation has really picked this team up from mediocrity and turned it into a possible World Series contender. I truly believe they can contend for the World Series with all because of that rotation. All because of that rotation. Now, people may make the argument too that Cardinals statistically have the best rotation on paper, but something tells me the Mets are in it to win it this postseason. I truly believe that, and they're gonna wind up getting back David Wright soon, as well as Travis DeNard, former Phillies prospect. So I like their chances. Even with Jonas Cespedes, I think Cespedes just had a three home run night, multi home run night the other night. Also hit a grand slam. It's kind of sad too how his career has come about with him switching back and forth between Detroit, Boston, Oakland, and these are all teams. Well, Oakland made a mistake, as we all know, that one season, because they really missed out on a really good bat in the middle of their order that postseason. And they really struggled, especially down that stretch after the All-Star break without, you know, Cespedes. And Cespedes has gone back and forth between Boston and Detroit because, these are teams trying to contend. Well, not now with Detroit and Boston likely missing out on the postseason this year, but Cespedes is viewed as someone who can buoy the Mets' chances at a possible World Series. He's supposed to become a free agent soon, but the Mets, even in that trade, didn't give up too much for Jonas Cespedes. For short-term rental, they didn't give up so much. We thought the Mets, and I think the Mets should be, even with Wilmer Flores, the Mets should be thankful trade did not go through for Carlos Gomez, because let me tell you, I think Gomez has declined over recent years. He just happened to have a few good years in Milwaukee before he really, he wasn't known to be as consistent early on, especially through the minors. So he's 29 years old now. The Houston Astros think they can certainly contend with him in their outfield, but look at what the Astros gave up. That's what I mean. The Astros gave up quite a lot for Carlos Gomez, while the Mets didn't give up entirely much for Yoenis Cespedes. Luckily enough, they kept Michael Conforto and Zach Wheeler. People are very pessimistic about Zach Wheeler's arm going forward, but I think still some hope there in Zach Wheeler. I mean, the physical didn't even come back well, but there's still some hope there. The Mets didn't, like I said, give up any of their talented, top-rated prospects, but the Astros did with Domingo Santana, Brett Phillips. We're talking two highly rated outfield prospects just for Carlos Gomez. And now the Milwaukee Brewers are going to call up Domingo Santana, former Philly prospect. And soft rumors, I'm sure they're true, that the Phillies wanted Domingo Santana for Cole Hamels. His strikeout rate has been a concern this year in the minors, but look back through time and henceforth, Santana will likely be a solid bat. Will likely be a solid bat somewhere in the middle of Milwaukee's order. Now, Milwaukee's also been stockpiling prospects too as of late. And who knows if Ryan Braun's time is nearing the end soon for in Milwaukee, but the Milwaukee Brewers, I think, sure got some talented prospects in return just for Carlos Gomez, but I digress. The Mets look very poised going into the postseason. So do the. I was gonna mention the Mets' offense down the stretch too lately. Their offense has improved down this stretch as well. You can consider that as well as the reason the Mets are poised to possibly make the World Series. But as I was saying though, the Blue Jays, I feel, are also poised with Troy Tulowitzki. Her ratings have certainly gone up since the Troy Tulowitzki trade. Even attendance has skyrocketed, but Troy Tulowitzki in the lineup. Josh Donaldson just recorded his 100th RBI, first player to surpass 100 RBIs this season. Now the A's, they have had quite a downer this year, quite a downer, and they just shut down Ike Davis too. Quite a down season for. Downward spiral season for the Oakland Athletics as they retooled, obviously, the offseason. People say rebuild, but I'd say retool because Billy Beane, of course, is always retooling there in Oakland, but they traded Josh Donaldson essentially for Brett Lurie. And Lurie's still young, but yet, man, Josh Donaldson has had one heck of a year for Toronto. So has Tulowitzki. So has Colabello. Colabello has put on a sharp season. The Jays have been on fire. Not only offensively, because offensively they are the best in Major League Baseball, but looking looking ahead with David Price now as their ace, they have a really, really good chance in the postseason with David Price down. And I think now David Price has finally found his niche somewhere. I think Detroit wasn't quite the place for him, nor was Tampa Bay, because Tampa Bay obviously wanted to part ways with Price for years after the World Series between the Philadelphia Phillies in 2008. But now he's certainly found his niche somewhere. As an ace, he can go out with a whole rest of that rotation. Drew Hutchinson is, in fact, coming back soon as well. The rest of that rotation, they can really make a strong push, just as strong as I feel about the Mets. I think those two are really poised for the World Series. But the Los Angeles Dodgers, who knows? Kershaw is still arguably ball today, but something has to give that. Yaisel Puig has struggled this season. So has Jimmy Rollins. Jock Peterson has hit for power this year, but he's struck out quite an amount of times. He's struck out. He hasn't averaged out as well either. Dodgers continuously making a push in the postseason, but they certainly have a bright future ahead with Corey Seager. I don't know when Corey Seager is going to come up, but their future will certainly be brighter. Corey Seager is going to be quite a lot better than his brother, from what I can tell. But I think their future is quite bright ahead. And they have all these veterans right now: Howie Kendrick, Jimmy Rollins, Chase Utley, Adrian Gonzalez, guys who've been there, done that in the postseason. I think there's an argument to make that veteran core can possibly be the reason the Dodgers make it as far as they do in the postseason this year, along with the best pitcher in baseball, Clay Kershaw. But something has to give after Jimmy Rollins' contract expires, Chase Utley leaves. I don't even know how much longer Chase Utley is going to play, but I believe it may be a year or two until Chase Utley finally hangs it up. He may just give it till next year and hang it up. I truly believe that. As the Phillies paid a good sum of his contract to the Los Angeles Dodgers, Phillies paid a good sum. Something has to give after Zach Greinke leaves. The Dodgers were unsuccessful at the deadline this year, pitching-wise. They're going to have to really pull hard for Zach Greinke in the offseason or find someone else next to Kershaw. I'm sure there's some pitcher out there who would want to pitch next to Kershaw, but they're very unsuccessful at the deadline, I believe. There are Cole Hamill rumors. And speaking of Cole Hamels, Cole Hamels hasn't done so bad in Texas, but I think many Texas fans have hoped for better results out of Cole Hamels. There are, of course, higher expectations now on Cole Hamels as the Dodgers or Rangers try to contend this season. But I said before, I think this isn't the season for the Rangers. I think maybe next season will be the season when Yu Darvish returns and Josh Hamilton gets healthy. You know, he's on the disabled list right now, so I'd argue next season is maybe the Rangers' is year, but now Dodgers lost out on Cole Hamels. I think the Dodgers really lost out on a talented prospect when they trade away Darnell Sweeney to the Philadelphia Phillies. Darnell Sweeney, according to MLB.com, 8th top-rated second baseman in minor league baseball. From minor league baseball, I could add, but Sweeney recently in his Phillies debut was called right up after the Chase Utley trade, hit a home run, hit a pinch hit home run. And it doesn't surprise me that Sweeney is off to a solid start so far, because now I had eyes on Darnell Sweeney when the Cole Hamels rumors to LA ran rapid. And so I'm not really surprised of what Darnell Sweeney is capable of doing in the near future for the Philadelphia Phillies, as Darnell can play second, third, outfield, you name it, except for catcher. Darnell is a very versatile player who may project as a utility man, but hey, look, people projected Odubel Herrera as a utility man through the via Rule 5 draft, and luckily odds were Darnell was going to wind up anyways in the Rule 5 draft next year, as the Dodgers really didn't have much room for him on their 40-man roster. They just have other priorities straight with Jose Peraza, Corey Seager, and others. So, no, I think the Phillies, I think even though analysts project Darnell Sweeney as a utility man, I think the Phillies got yet another steal. Odubel could play center, second base. Darnell the same. I think these guys could be close to as good as a versatile bench option, but really, the Phillies are auditioning Tear now. Tear is tearing it up in the minors or majors. In the majors now. And he's really improved his swing, more of a compact swing now, and has added on some bat speed. Has certainly looked good, especially through his early days as a Philadelphia Philly. But Phillies are auditioning players right now, and likely chances are Darnell and Odubel Herrera become part of the future for years and years to come as possible starters. I think even though people will argue that Darnell doesn't have quite that plus tool except for speed, there's also another exception. What I believe is his that can really carry him on through his major league career. I think Darnell has really proved in his recent years down the minors that he can be a lethal weapon at the plate. So, no, I think the Phillies got a nice bat in return for Chase Utley. And they've really stockpiled on a lot of prospects throughout time. But, man, some tells me Darnell could be one of the steals as we look back. But it's a matter of consistency. It's a matter of how well Darnell continues to do, how well Altair continues to do. Looks to me these guys are just having fun right now. They're just having fun, even though the Phillies are dead last in the standings. But as I said episodes before, the trade deadline, that's just a breath of fresh air now. We're seeing these prospects come up. Even Jared Eichhoff. Jared Eichhoff from the Cole Hamels trade made his MLB debut and went six scoreless innings. Not bad for someone who's projected to be a setup man, but has a nice curveball along with a couple other pitches to outshine his expectations of a setup man. Really, really liked what I saw out of Jared Eichhoff as well. I just keep on getting excited and excited as time goes on, as we'll see Nick Williams soon, J.P. Crawford soon. Got to check him out in a recent Reading game. And Reading, by the way, is leading the Eastern League, could very well win the Eastern League championship down AA, but no, they're doing, or I could say, Nick Williams is doing one heck of a job. So is Shake Thompson through three games so far in Reading. He's pitched a 1.80 ERA. Not so bad come from the Texas League, as Texas League was obviously hitter-friendly, Bandbox ballparks, but now these prospects from the Cole Hamels trade have really played well. Really played well down in Reading. J.P. Crawford is one of the top 10 rated prospects in minor league baseball right now, according to Baseball America and MLB.com. But no, last time I checked, he was hitting 250 at the plate, which concerns me a little, because I've always been a bit concerned about J.P. Crawford's bat. Someone I know compared J.P. Crawford to Derek Jeter. Well, if he's going to be as good as Derek Jeter, his bat needs to be better than his glove. You know, he's one of the top 10 rated prospects because of his glove. And if he's going to make a strong impact further down in the majors, then he's going to have to improve his bat a bit more. He's been hitting a lot of pop-ups lately. He just needs to really hit for contact and hit for line drives. So even though Crawford's on his way too, he needs to improve his bat. Other than that, though, I'm really optimistic as time goes on. But we see these prospects, more and more prospects to come soon. Ruben Amaro Jr. made it clear recently that the Phillies are going to call up prospects up at a minimum this September as rosters expand in Major League Baseball. But I'd certainly say we'll see. I think out of all prospects, we'll see Andrew Knapp next year. I think Andrew Knapp has a lot to show further on, whether in AAA or the majors. He shouldn't even be in AA, quite frankly, right now, as they're making a strong push at the Eastern League Championship, obviously. But no, Napa's played through Lakewood, Redding, should get a shot soon in AAA, or rather than sooner the, or rather than later the majors, but no, I think we'll eventually see Knapp. I think Knapp could very well be the catcher of the future. Like I said before, not quite sure about Alfaro. And I don't even think Alfaro will play in the majors next year. He's out for the remainder of the season with an injury. But no, I made it clear before that Alfaro needs to recognize breaking balls, needs to improve his plate discipline a bit more before he finally makes his major league debut as part of the Philadelphia Phillies. And chances are, too, he will play catcher or first base. Many people are saying first base, you know, because he needs to improve his receiving skills behind the plate. And I saw Knapp, when I saw the Rand Phils the other weekend. People mentioned has improved behind the plate. Well, he... Oh man, when I saw him throw out player at second the other week. When I saw him throw out a player at second the other week, I went, "Wow, Knapp has quite an arm." And so does Alfaro. So does Alfaro. People say he'll likely play at first, or he'll just likely play at first if he doesn't exceed expectations well behind the plate. But no, I think. You could say Alfaro has a feasible future in the outfield. I think he could possibly play in the outfield with his arm and athleticism. Don't deny his talented athleticism, as I think Alfaro has the ability with his athleticism and arm to play in one of the corners. One quarter parts of the outfield. And the Phillies also, as the Phillies, I said, have needed to address their corners in the outfield for some time. It could be, Aaron Altherr could be there for the future on. Nick Williams could be there for the future on. Alfaro could be there for the future on. But all these guys are essentially auditioning, and the Phillies aren't going to contend next year, so they're going to audition Andrew Knapp. They're going to, I think, audition Jake Thompson. I strongly believe Jake Thompson will be up very soon. By the way, he actually walked a couple batters in his last pitching appearance in Redding. Command is what will lead him to the majors. So, his command is solid on. I think we could see Jake Thompson very soon next year in the majors, as well as Jesse Biddle. I think, Ruben Amaro Jr. has stated that Jesse Biddle hasn't done enough yet to prove he's major league worthy with a 5.40 ERA. I got to a strong start in AAA, but again, faltered. Philadelphia native want to play someday in front of his home crowd, but he struggled quite some time. I think we'll likely see him anyways. I think maybe he could pitch his way into the majors, the All-Star break next year, could pitch well early part of next year, and make the majors at the All-Star break. But sometime around, I think we're going to see him, Jesse Bell, former first-round pick in 2010, pitch in front of his home crowd, Philadelphia. And Alec Asher, I think we'll see Alec Asher. And the other prospect I didn't mention in the Chase Utley trade, John Ritchie. I think he'll be called up eventually as more of a bullpen asset. I think Phillies will even call up Tom Wendell. You know, some of these guys are just projected to be bullpen arms. I think Philadelphia will just call up right away. The future looks certainly bright. It's just a matter of time, if and when we see these prospects called up. Of all names I mentioned, I don't think J.P. Crawford will get called up next year. Nick Williams. And Nick Williams, I think, could make the roster in September of next year, I think. But I don't really think we're going to see a majority of the season with J.P. Crawford, Nick Williams, or Jorge Alfaro on the lineup. So, 2017 is definitely the year. An interesting article came out recently. I forget from which outlet. But the Phillies look set to, as Pat Gillick said, start winning again in 2017. That'll be the year Phillies start to win, try to win again with young players they possess. So I think that could be a turning point, or Phillies could fall on their butts once more if Phillies really live up to the expectations in the majors. They'll fall on their butt, and come time 2018 MLB free agency, they'll likely lose out on frontline start, because I've emphasized many times now, Phillies need another frontline star next to Aaron Nola now. Who knows, they can draft A.J. Puk as the first overall pick in next year's MLB draft, and then a few years ahead, pick up someone like Steven Strasburg. His name has been thrown out there as a possible candidate in 2018 to jump ship over to Philly with that crowd rotation in Washington. But 2017 is definitely the turning point. Aaron Nola is pitching with a 3.34 ERA. But look at what he did his freshman year in LSU, pitched with above a 3.0 ERA, and then established himself as a really, really good starting pitcher, elevated his draft stock after his freshman season, pitching wonderfully with the ERA below 2.0. So I think Nola was definitely caught up better sooner than later, but give him some time. I think he'll definitely be part of the Phillies' future rotational future. As well as Michael Franco. I mean, how can we exclude Michael Franco from the Phillies' future? man. He's out of all players, definitely locked in as a future round. The Phillies just, over time will need either Nick Williams or someone else to support Michael Franco. The Phillies will certainly need a bat sometime around the near future to support Franco in the Phillies lineup. I feel critical the Phillies find another bat, great bat, next to Michael Franco in the lineup. And I'm getting a little too far ahead too, but just think about if the Phillies look so good on through, say, 2019, let some of these prospects develop through 2019, 2020, we could see Mike Trout as a Philadelphia Philly in the future. Player who grew up on the Philadelphia Phillies. Now, it was recently reported he's more into weather, wants to be a weatherman, but all seriousness, I think, he even said it before that he still keeps up with the Philadelphia Phillies. And question was asked too that if he would play in Philadelphia someday. Of course, Trout won't answer, but going by realistic expectations, I think it's possible. If the Phillies can groom their prospects into, groom some of their prospects into stars, and the Phillies could grab another star, superstar in Mike Trout to really, really bolster the Phillies' chances of that possible World Series. But I'm getting too far ahead here. If you want to call in, reminisce about your favorite memories of Chase Utley, you can call in by dialing 347-215-6966. Once again, 347-215-6966. I'm your host, Julian Brow the King, here with you. You can follow me on Twitter, by the way, at JBravoSK. There you can find me ran on about Tebow Mania or some other subject in Philly. Huge Philly sports fan, so. Hey, that's why I do this show. I enjoy keeping up with Philly sports. So, call in 347-215-6966 to reminisce about your favorite memories of Chase Utley, or call in about Sam Bradford. Chase Utley, before I go on to the Philadelphia Eagles, will say that he was definitely the best Philly, I think, in the era of Ryan Howard, Jimmy Rollins, Cole Hamels, Cliff Lee. I think he was certainly the best Philly. Now, many fans can relate to Chase Utley just based off his personality. California guy, but yet, played like the heart of any other Philadelphian. So, I think all in all, Chase Utley is and was definitely the best Philly of that particular era. But with No, I got to turn it over to the Philadelphia Eagles and Sam Bradford. Eagles' second preseason game, and we've got to finally see Sam Bradford in only one series, of possessions. Bradford threw 3 of 5. Successful series as DeMarco Murray, even Ryan Matthews rushed in for touchdowns. What really caught people's eyes, was the hit Sam Bradford took from Terrell Suggs of the Baltimore Ravens. And no, I mean, no, Terrell Suggs will shrug it off, but it was obvious. As Jason Peters said, a cheap shot. That Terrell purposely executed on Sam Bradford. And Bradford was even a little upset. And how often does Bradford get upset? No, there's no reason for Bradford not to get upset. After all this time battling through multiple injuries, serious injuries, Bradford comes back for the first time since last year and deals with crap from Terrell Suggs. Just unnecessary crap from Terrell Suggs in the preseason, but yet the Eagles still came away well in their second preseason game. Kenyon Barner again returned a punt return for a touchdown. Oh, people are debating on whether he'll make the roster, 53-man roster or not, but man, it'd be tough for Chip Kelly not to include him on the Eagles roster. And Barner's made a strong case for himself to make the 53-man roster. Then you look at on defense, Byron Maxwell returned an interception. So did Walter Thurman. Secondary looked pretty good early in the game, especially against Joe Flacco. Chip Kelly called Joe Flacco elite. And I've always said Joe Flacco has been elite too. Call and argue with me, but I've fully thought of him to be elite. Now he gave up some interceptions to Byron Maxwell and Walter Thurman. They did a pretty solid job reading in on Joe Flacco and excelling well in man coverage. So, defense is pretty sharp, and secondary has been my concern going into this season, but no, secondary has looked pretty well so far. One concern, as I said last show, is what the Eagles are going to do now without Jacory Shepard. Are they going to play Nolan Carroll on the inside? Are they going to play Eric Rowe on the outside? Truth be told, I think Eric Rowe will play on the outside, Nolan Carroll will play on the inside. Nolan's been getting some rave reviews on throughout training camp, but something tells me Nolan won't be able to keep his job outside of nickel. I think it's coincidental enough that Nolan hasn't played much up until this point of time. He's got enough reps in the NFL for many teams to realize that, you know, he's solid backup cornerback at best, and could be again just that for the Philadelphia Eagles and fill in for Ja'Cory Shepherd at nickel. But you know, something tells me, you know, Steve Smith, based off instincts, said recently that Eric Rowe didn't have that killer instinct in his eyes. Didn't say it would have been, but he was making a point that Eric Rowe didn't have that killer instinct in his eyes. Well, I don't know what to make of that, because, Eric Rowe hasn't shown me much yet, but it's Steve Smith for crying out loud. Steve Smith, very outspoken player, but I don't know. It's time to, I think you definitely gotta give Rowe as much opportunity as possible this regular season. I think there isn't any time to waste on Eric Rowe. I think one of our starting cornerbacks of the future or not. So I think there's no time to waste this season on Eric Rowe. Yeah, they'll start out safe with him probably in the inside, but as time goes on, I feel he'll eventually play on the outside. So now that, you know, the Eagles' secondary has looked pretty well so far in the preseason. As you know, Ray Dinger said this, but the Eagles have arguably one of the top three front sevens in the NFL. I think that's true. I think the Eagles are so loaded, you know, they're not so much loaded on the secondary, I think they're so loaded in their front seven this year, they're gonna do just fine, even with Marcus Smith missing out the rest of the preseason, even more games possibly, according to reports. But no, I think Brian Braman, he said, one of the Eagles backup outside linebackers said depth at outside linebacker looked a lot better last year than it does this year around, with Trent Cole gone. No, the Eagles are a bit depleted that position, but no, I mean, I think Braman, no, I think he's he's a terrific special teams player. You know, he can come in certain snaps, play well, even physically. He and Marcus Smith have walked up quite a lot over the years. So, and now want to talk about Tebow Mania. I didn't really get to touch on Tebow Mania last week, but Tebow has done all right. And now, I mean, there's an argument to make. His accuracy has improved a bit, but downfield it hasn't. You know, chip on some third down possessions. And Tebow has struggled converting on third downs, especially. But I've noticed that Chip has put Tebow to the test. He's designed certain plays whereas Tebow throws down, I mean, they're downfield on third and eight, for example, and fail to convert because, you know, his accuracy downfield is still a bit of a concern. But other than that, he threw some accurate intermediate passes, more accurate than what I've seen throughout previous time. Reports are saying that if Tebow doesn't make any bonehead mistakes like Mark Sanchez does, we know the deal with Mark Sanchez, but no, I mean, with Tebow, if he, according to reports, can keep it up, he can make the roster. He can make the roster, as there's also rumors thrown around that Barkley might be traded. Maybe to the Jets. Maybe to the Jets. There were rumors before about the Jets. Maybe to the Jets or elsewhere. As Barkley, has done all right too. But none of these guys convince me they're the Eagles starting quarterback of the future. It really all comes down to Bradford. Even though we saw Bradford for one series of possessions, it's all down to Bradford, how he plays and sustains healthiness going forward. So, quarterback is key out of everything, everyone. Quarterback is key, and some fans want to see Bradford for more than a quarter, possibly two, but I only saw him for one series. Of possessions, I expect the Eagles at least increase his workload a bit the next preseason game around. But no, they're keeping it safe with Bradford. Bradford, I just hope can stay healthy. Bless his knees. Pope Francis just. Hope he stays healthy, but no. Other than that, we saw some nice glimpses of Nelson Aguilar. Nelson has sure made a name for himself early on throughout this preseason, and another player that has stood out. Fantasy players out there, by the way. I'm getting ready for the fantasy draft. My fantasy draft soon. Keep close tabs on Ryan Matthews. Because, no, I mean, Jason Peters said the other day we could see a 1,000-yard rushing seasons out of not only DeMarco Murray, but also Ryan Matthews. So, no, I mean, possibly keep close tabs on Ryan Matthews. One player that really concerns me is Zach Ertz. Now, reports are saying that Zach Ertz will miss the preseason, but will possibly even miss the first game or two of the regular season. He's currently dealing with a groin or hamstring injury. He's a concern in my eyes. I think offense would be somehow, some way, a little off without. I hope Ertz can get back on the field, stay healthy. So can took in Bradford. It's nice to see, in conclusion, it was nice to see Bradford in his first preseason game, but, nothing gets me excited over the part of injuries. And now, any Eagle fans are so excited for this season. I'm always a diehard Eagle fan no matter what, but yet, no. I said this to myself the other day, but no, there hasn't really come a point in time yet I've gotten so excited, really excited in the Chip Kelly era, because we have yet to see the Eagles win a playoff game. We have yet to see the Eagles go farther than the first round and make the Super Bowl. There are, of course, high expectations on Chip Kelly this year. Your eyes are going to be on Chip Kelly this year. And going into the start season now, expectations, hefty expectations are there. Not with me, however, as excited as I am, not so excited, but as excited as I am, some tells me the Eagles will finish 9-7 this coming season and be lucky if they can make the playoffs. Mike Mayock has ranked the Eagles as one of the top three teams in the NFC conference recently, but it's just hard, you know, with Bradford's history, to think that this team can really sustain on, until we see more of Bradford, then I get a little bit excited as time goes on, of course. I get excited around the week 10 mark when I hope things are looking up for the Philadelphia Eagles. Things are looking up for them to possibly reach the playoffs, but it's about health. We happily got to see Bradford in his first preseason game. More excited if he could stay on the field and play some more. So, no, Eagles got two more preseason games coming up. And we shall see just how the Eagles play into the regular season, as this about does it for PHL Sports Nation. Once again, as I said from the beginning of this show, you can find PHL Sports Nation on the web at phlsportsnation.com. You can also find us on Twitter at PHL Sports Nation. You can find us on multiple social media outlets such as PHL Eagles Nation, PHL Sixers Nation, PHL Phillies Nation, you name it. We're also on Facebook, Audio Boom, and Blog Talk Radio. So, now I hope you guys enjoyed the show, as this has been another episode of PHL Sports Nation. So long, guys.